I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host for 2 hours each day, giving you a safe space to the independent thinkers on the right or the left or the middle or wherever you find yourself. If you're open to information, willing to change your mind or reconsider things from a different point of view, you're in the right spot. I'm back from a couple of days off. I want to thank Stephen Utroska, who killed it on Thursday and Friday of last week for me. He is the executive head of the Mississippi Freedom Caucus here in the state of Mississippi. He certainly knows the legislature, and as the session was winding up, it was probably a pretty good time to have Stephen in here explaining to us exactly what's going on here with our supposedly red state government. And we're going to find out this week, I guess, exactly where the legislature ended up. I count on those guys to kind of let us know. It felt like a lot of swings and misses with some pretty bold things they could have done. So just another year in the Mississippi legislature of Republicans that just pretend to be conservatives. But we'll figure that out anyway. Thank you to Stephen for sitting in for a couple of days. I so much like having a fill-in host rather than doing a rerun. So I appreciate him doing that, and I would imagine you'll be hearing him again in the future. I know he's filled in for Jameson as well, so he's very well qualified to do it. And I enjoyed listening to the shows. Tonight, I'll just remind everybody, I think Clay Edwards talked about it this morning. Lindsay called in and talked about it, and Madison County School Board is having a meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. Lots of things to weigh in on. The masks seem to not be the issue now. Now it's CRT and just the indoctrination of children. They've already talked about it. I won't harp on it today, but it is time to get involved in those things. I've got something today that's a bigger issue than even school board stuff, and people know that I've been in the school board fight supporting those girls and guys that have showed up for those meetings since they got started, or at least since I kind of came along with them, but I've got stuff today that may actually be more important than that. There's some big moves going on we need to pay attention to, but it is important. As I say, if you think you're ever going to change anything, but you can't change your own school board, then you're just being delusional. And the reason people can't change their own school boards largely over the years has been that people don't get engaged. They don't go out there. They don't show up. You could do it. Really, the fact of the matter is, you won't do it. So many of us just love to be spectators, sit around and grumble, and not actually get involved in the fight. Anyway, tonight at 5 o'clock, Madison County School Board, where they will be talking about things like critical race theory. The school board won't be talking about it, but the parents will make sure that they understand that they're being watched. So, anyway, show up for that. Quotes of the day today that will lead me into my show of what I believe is very important stuff. First quote of the day is Benjamin Franklin, who said, "It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority." This is Benjamin Franklin. He didn't say, "Hey, every now and then you should question your so-called leaders." No, he said, "It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority." The left used to know that. Even the counterculture people questioned authority. Take it to the man. The left used to understand this. Now they bend over quickly for any official dictate coming from their government, anything coming from their corporate media. At least they used to have a thing in it. The conservatives are starting to wake up to this, the question authority thing, but for so long they have been in the always obey. You know, you got to support your government. I respect the office. That's what they'll say. Oh yeah, I mean, I might not like the Barack Obama, but I respect the office. Really, what is it about the presidency of the United States that deserves so much respect? It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. And here on this show for 2 hours a day, it's not enough to just question it. I'll challenge it and I'll do my best to actually oppose authority here. Really what I want to do is ignore it. It just becomes increasingly difficult more and more the government grows. Orwell wrote in 1984, I was out with my son yesterday in a bookstore. We were talking. My son's a big reader. I'm proud of him. Guy's got a, he's a thinker. We were looking at stories. We were looking at Huxley and Orwell, and he said, yeah, I really think Huxley was really kind of the more prescient of the guy, the more, you know, he kind of saw things. I said, yeah, but the last 2 years have shown that George Orwell, he knew where we would end up. The last 2 years, having been straight on 1984, George Orwell wrote, power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. Power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. That is the power to shape our impressions of things and what we do. And then one more quote here, and this is from somebody that'll kick off this show. It's from M.N. Gordon. He writes for TheEconomicPrism.com. He said, central bank digital currencies would allow control freak, power mad central bankers to do much more than spy and surveil your financial transactions. CBDCs, and that is central bank digital currencies, would allow them to control how and when you spend your money. And that's what we're going to look at today in some detail, because I ran across a couple of clips. You know, the shows form themselves to me. I've got a lot of interest in different things, but a lot of times headlines or clips that I run across are so egregious, I just start researching what was said, looking into the personalities who were saying them, how important they are, what their positions are, and then the shows kind of take shape themselves. So what we're going to look at today is probably the most important thing going on. It is more important than even the other really important stories of the day. What's going on, particularly when it comes to our financial system and the remaking of it, is more important even than Joe Biden. It's more important than critical race theory. If you can believe that, because I know that's an important issue, you certainly should keep it out of the schools. The indoctrination of our children is a huge topic these days, but you can still have some escape from that. You can protect your own children. A lot of heroic parents have taken their kids out of schools where that kind of stuff has been taught, and they're homeschooling kids. You still have that freedom right now, for now. This topic of central bank digital currency is more important than medical marijuana, a passion topic of mine. It's more important than tax cuts. It's more important than censorship. It's more important than prices, inflation that everybody's talking about right now. It's more important than Hunter Biden, which I believe they're using. I think the Hunter Biden thing has got some legs. We may get to some clips on that today as well. I think they're using it. They're about to pull the plug on Joe Biden. The terrifying thing is what follows him. At least we know kind of what we're dealing with when it's him. We don't know exactly who's behind the scenes, but we know who Biden is. I'm terrified to think that Kamala and God knows who ends up being her VP or how they play that out. But this is even more important, I believe, than election integrity. You can believe that. And these are all issues, every one of them important. But as I say, when it comes to things in the schools, you can go down and take control of your school board. You can, if the school board is not responsive, you can take your child out and educate them yourself. When it comes to medical marijuana, you can go get marijuana if you want to. If you've got a chronic health condition, I think it's disgusting that we have allowed a system to emerge where if you go to treat your Parkinson's with a plant because a bunch of politicians say it's no good, that we would allow somebody to be put into a cage, but conservatives have been cheering for that for 50 years now. But you can still go get marijuana if you want to or grow it yourself. You risk the consequences, but you can self-medicate with medical marijuana. I watched yesterday, was it Sunday? Saturday afternoon. I was down in Louisiana. I'd stopped at a gas station down in Baton Rouge. I watched what appeared to be several heroin deals going on. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a busy street right beside a Chevron station. I said heroin by the demeanor, the physical traits of those who were coming up It didn't look like meth because the people who were coming to buy were not a lot of energy there. Some of that staggering. Have you ever seen these heroin addicts on the streets? It's really pathetic stuff. They just slump over and sway, but they're still standing. This is some of the people I saw. This was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The war on drugs just going great. Any day now, they're going to crack this. Just 10% more money, a few more cops, and build some more prisons. They're certainly going to win this war on drugs. Well, they weren't winning it. Right there by Interstate 12, an airline highway in Baton Rouge yesterday. So I just watched 4 or 5 people come up, and a guy comes out, gets in their car, gets back out. Heroin addicts stumbling up there. Anyway, you can go get medical marijuana. You can even hedge yourself against inflation if you want to. Inflation certainly is nefarious. It's been coming for a long time. It is Donald Trump's fault. It's Joe Biden's fault. It's Barack Obama's fault. It's George Bush's fault. It's the Federal Reserve's fault. It's Congress's fault. It's everybody's fault. It's been coming for a long time. You can hedge against it. You can grumble against it. You can cut your way of living. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to, we're going to start looking at these central bank digital currencies because some concerning things have been said. Some concerning pieces have been written. You understand that if this thing takes hold, if you want to oppose one thing, if you want to weigh in with your Congress critter on one thing, and most people won't, 98% of the people will never contact their congressperson. 98% of the people will continue to support whoever's got the letter that they like behind somebody's name and never hold them accountable. But if you want to oppose one thing, this central bank digital currency, this may be it, and it may be closer than we think. I had a conversation with a listener the other day, and apparently Jameson has put a date on when this thing is coming out. I'm going to talk to him in the next couple of days. I'm sure I'll run across Jameson or give him a call. I don't know what this date is. 90% of the time, and no insult to Jameson, I mean, but he's probably looking at some other people. People that give certain dates are about 90% of the time they're completely wrong. Maybe 98% of the time they're wrong, but who knows? But this thing does appear to be creeping up on us. If there is one thing to be opposed, it is the total, absolute, complete control over your buying and selling, your existence as a human being. And all they need is one financial crisis to usher this thing in. I mean, we saw conservatives who love the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, profess love for freedom and liberty. All it took was 9/11, one morning, and they gave up a ton of their constitutional rights, added new departments to the government, started bankrupting the country with endless Middle Eastern wars. It only took one morning for a crisis to create conservatives who abandoned the Constitution to cheer for George W. Bush. You can only imagine what a couple of months of a true financial crisis would get people willing to accept. So we're going to start getting into this today, and I really hope, that this show will go down as the rantings of a conspiracy theorist who was just being a big chicken little. I really hope that this turns out to be some nut job show and this was never going to happen. And 20 years from now, I look back on it and just laugh at myself for taking this so seriously. But just on the off chance that this is actually the plan and that it is much more imminent than most of us would like to think, we're going to talk a little bit about these central bank digital currencies and some of the clips that made me start talking about it. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
You know, everybody has their issues. Conservative talk radio, there are some kind of typical ones, you know, a lot of pro-life issues, guns, CRT, these kinds of things. I've got different issues that I bring to this show, not because I don't care about the others, but because other people do them 22 other hours a day, and most of them do them better than me. I have issues like the Federal Reserve. A bit of a snooze topic to many people, but what I believe to be one of the most important things affecting Americans' lives and our entire system, you know, for over 100 years now, that has just been basically ignored. I talk about taxes that fund that organization and fund this government, and I believe are unconstitutional, and I'm with stunned amazement that Americans are willing to just offer up a third of their income, really a half once you control allow for all taxes. Just you give up a half of your income every single year willingly. Oh, you grumble about it, but, you know, the drug war that has created the police state that will be a big part of what we talk about for the rest of the show. The drug war that conservatives have cheered for, have championed, most continue to support, because drugs can wreck lives. There's no doubt about it, but so can a whole lot of other things. And that's another issue of mine. So I've got my own issues. They're not always the most popular ones, and a lot of times it's because I show the hypocrisy of the right and conservatives and Republicans when addressing these issues, because people who cheer for freedom and liberty should be paying attention to these things. But we've all got our issues, but this may be, if we have to do a laundry list of things facing us right now, this may be number one. Now, I'll say, if we're at the brink of nuclear war, that's a biggie. Granted, nuclear war, all-out Armageddon, might rank even higher than this thing, but you know, we've talked for 2 years about these forced vaccinations of an experimental gene therapy, just a tragic thing. And if it becomes some level of a genocide for over 26,000 people, it certainly has already been a death event. And so far, even with all the advancements of modern medicine, there is no cure for death. It's a pretty final solution for those people who have already been harmed by this shot. So that certainly is a big issue. But as I say, whether it's inflation or CRT or any of these things, you've got some redress for these things within your personal life. If they herald us into this idea of a centralized digital currency, then there is no escape. You no longer get to the idea of going to a school board meeting. If you're seen as an agitator for any of these other issues that you're upset about, election integrity, you've seen what they have done to people on election integrity issues on the social media platforms when it comes to censorship. Imagine if that censorship was not just your ability to post to YouTube or to post to Twitter, but that kind of censorship was you don't buy or sell. We've seen people canceled. We've seen people fired for their political beliefs, for speaking out in an insane world, for doctors having their licenses stripped for talking about ivermectin or early treatment for COVID or challenging the vaccines. We've seen these kinds of censorships, but in all of these cases, at least there's an exit. You go and you find another job. There is an escape. It's wrong. It's wrong to cancel people. It's wrong to call for people to be fired. It's wrong for all of these things to take place, but there is still a little bit of freedom there to adjust and regain our footing and then move on to the next thing when something ridiculous like this canceling comes up. But I got to tell you, I look at this next issue, this issue of if they herald us into this new financial system, I don't know what the escape route is. You know, if you get canceled of your ability to buy and sell, and yes, I know that sounds very prophetic stuff, and it is. You think, I've got friends. They'll help me. Will they? How many of your friends, you know, if you became a troublemaker, if you had your financial world upturned, you were basically canceled as a human being, no ability to earn a living, no ability to spend any money because they control the every nook and cranny of your financial transaction. How many of your friends are going to step up and risk their standing, their ability to earn a living, to spend money, to have housing? How many of them are going to risk that for you? How many times do you think you're going to hear, oh, man, I would, but I've got kids? You know, this show, it was early in COVID, probably in April or May of 2020, when I saw what they were doing. They were shutting down the economy. Now, the first couple of months, we didn't know what we were dealing with, but I knew shutdowns. As a libertarian, I knew the government telling you can't open your business. That's bad. I don't care if it's Ebola sweeping the land. The government coming in and telling you what you can and cannot do is never preferable. I know it's not always, it's not because they love us. I almost said not always, but it's never because they love us. It's just a level of control. But when I saw what they started to do in response to these things, when they started talking about all the paycheck protection, when they just started opening up the floodgates of checks to people, forcing you to sit at home, break social connections, not even see dying loved ones in the hospital, but they'll send you a $1,200 check. I said many times, very early in COVID, I said, they are remaking our entire financial system as we're watching it right now. I was mystified. It was one of the things that kind of started me on my last 2 years of struggling to interpret what I was seeing. And so many Americans just felt like this was somehow normal. This was done for our own good. And then they're seeking to help us by sending us a little bit of a check or boost our unemployment a little bit to help offset the hardship of COVID. But it was necessary because of this disease. I mean, it was just bizarro world. I just couldn't believe what I was watching take place. Republicans and Democrats all passing bills to totally remake the way we do business. Airlines forced to shut down or forced to limit the number of people on it. And then the checks just going out from the government. You do what we say, we're going to send you a big check. The airlines being bailed out. Everybody being bailed out. The government creates the crisis, shuts everything down, and then just starts writing checks. I said, you know, I mean, what a great business model. It's just such a pain in the butt to deliver a good or service. Why don't you just hang a shingle and then wait for the government checks to come in? And that's what we were doing. We were remaking our financial system in live time as I started talking about it in the spring into the summer of 2020. And it's just continued to accelerate, and now we find ourselves at the cusp of a financial crisis that could lead us right to where I'm scared of being. Now, this is a report of kind of where we stand right now. Another thing that I talk about here that's wildly greeted with yawns, and it's a very dry topic, but that is the bond market. The bond market being bigger than the stock market, actually more important than the bond than the stock market, although the stock market is sexy. But there are warning signs right now that we're headed into some economic distress.
Sell-off in the bond market continued today. Short-dated yields hitting their highest since 2019. The 5-year yield topped the 30-year yield. In technical jargon, the yield curve inverted. That's said to be a clear sign of a recession on the way. Usually, if you buy a U.S. government bond, you'll want a higher return on your investment if you're going to give your money to the government for a longer time. So the annual return you get on a 30-year treasury, a.k.a. its yield, should be higher than a 5-year treasury, right? The government's taking my money for 30 years, after all. They better sweeten the deal. But today, for some reason, the yield on the 30-year fell below the yield on the 5-year.
And there is an explanation for this. I listened yesterday while I was on the road to several Peter Schiff. If you are at all interested in economics, and I think he does a good job of explaining them where people can understand, listen to Peter Schiff. Read what he writes. He's got shows that you can play. Peter Schiff explaining why the yield curve is inverting. But this is a sign that a recession is on its way. We're extremely economic vulnerable right now. There's a headline out right now. German retailers to increase food prices by 20 to 50% today. Now, we've been seeing these price rises over the past year, year and a half, right? Here, the inflation, and we saw gas at the pumps spike pretty heavy during the course of just a couple of weeks. Germany's just going to go in, and Germans are going to wake up this morning paying up to 50% more for their food than they did yesterday. I would assume that is for whatever food is left on the shelves, because this headline is a couple of days old. I would imagine the grocery stores were pretty busy on Sunday. So I would only anticipate that there is some level of a headline out there right now that says Germany experiences food shortages on Monday as prices climb. This is the overlord, the bond villain, Klaus Schwab. He's speaking up these days as well.
We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected.
Yeah. And we will be deeply affected. I mean, you can't script this stuff. I'm telling you, I'm going more and more with the Matrix theory as time goes on. Somebody is directing this whole story out here, complete with the bond villain guy over the whole thing. That's Klaus Schwab. He's with the World Economic Forum. He is the Great Reset guy. And he's saying, we don't know how bad this is going to get, but there's obviously going to be a lot of disruptions. So what is our government going to do to fix our financial health here? What is the end game here? You think this is all just going to go away and we're going to, I mean, it went away in the 70s, but we know how that happened. They raised interest rates to 20%. There's not a chance in hell of them doing that this time. No way. We are so much weaker than we were in 1980 right now. There's no way in the world they can tame this inflation by raising interest rates to any significant degree. And so we're going to take a look at someone spoke up. I wasn't real familiar with this person. Have you ever heard of Pippa Malmgren? Pippa Malmgren. I'll tell you who she is. And then the clip that I heard from her that kind of kicked off this whole show. And then some pieces that have been written that I found in my research about this central bank digital currency. Look, I think that I've said for a long time, too long, actually, that we're at the cusp of a real financial crisis, that what they did in 2008 was just a tremor. If this was a Godzilla movie, 2008 was just that picture of the glass of water, where you kind of in the very distant background, you hear the big boom, boom, and you can see just the little ripples in the top of the water. It wasn't the event. It was just the warning signs of the event. They didn't do anything to fix anything in 2008. I watched this. There's a documentary out. I believe it was on Amazon Prime. It's called Inside Lehman Brothers, I believe. It was done back in 2013, 2014, maybe. And it was about the collapse of, no, I take that back. I think it might have been 2018. It was about the collapse of Lehman Brothers. I actually meant to get a couple of clips from it, but it is just disgusting to see what they got away with and what was being done to the American people and the fact that none of these bankers went to jail or paid any price, save a few of them having to lose their jobs for some period of time and get caught right back up with another investment bank. But that 2008 crisis, it was just the tremor. And so for 10 years, 8 years, I've been chicken little about we're about to see some real problems coming. Because I knew they didn't fix anything after the financial crisis. They made it worse. And so the day of reckoning was going to be worse than 2008. Well, it does feel like it's coming. So what are they going to be doing here when this next financial crisis hits? We're going to listen to Pippa Malmgren explain what she thinks is going to happen. And then you'll see why I think this is an important story. Be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I had a great weekend. I spent some time with my son, who's down in Lafayette. Spent some time with some friends in Baton Rouge and New Orleans over the course of a few days. Made a little road trip. I can go out and have fun. I can talk about this stuff and go out and have fun. This is all hands on deck, this thing. I'm going to tell you the timing. We're talking today about these central bank digital currencies. Right now we have a situation where the Federal Reserve, which I refer to as the Death Star here on this show, and have for quite some time, while Rush Limbaugh didn't talk about the Federal Reserve, Sean Hannity doesn't talk about the Federal Reserve, Roger Wicker doesn't talk about the Federal Reserve, Donald Trump didn't talk about the Federal Reserve except to tell the Federal Reserve to print more money so his stock market looked good. But the Federal Reserve is so powerful, you understand right now that tomorrow morning, they could make an announcement that sends the entire economy into free fall. And they've made us this vulnerable by creating a system, addicting businesses from the biggest corporations down to the smallest mom and pops to adopt a debt-based growth model. Our entire economy is addicted to debt. And the Federal Reserve is very influential. They don't control everything because they've made such a mess of it. They're losing control of parts of it. But the Federal Reserve could come out tomorrow and say, we anticipate raising interest rates to 8% this year. You would almost hear truck tires screech to a halt if something like that happened. This institution is so powerful. They can either stumble us into an economic crisis or create one out of whole cloth. in a day with one statement. They could send the stock market down 10% in a day in a sentence released from Jerome Powell. That's the power of the Federal Reserve. Your 401k, you enjoy any benefits of your 401k, any appreciation in the value of your 401k. You appreciate that only at the pleasure of the Federal Reserve. You understand that? Yet while you have slept, while you have ignored for 100 years this organization, your entire financial future is completely dependent on these people, and they are just globalist elites. They don't care about you. They don't walk in your shoes. They don't understand you. They understand themselves. They understand power, and they understand wealth, and they have it all. And with a couple of sentences, in one day, they could collapse the U.S. economy. Again, I have a great time meeting with friends. I don't let this stuff just obsess me. I'm going to live my life because they might not do this, and maybe we've got 20 more years to go. I don't know. Or maybe it's tomorrow. So I'm going to take a quick break here so I can do a little bit of a longer segment. I'm going to play this statement from Pippa Malgram. I'll tell you who she is. And then I'll get into even some of the things that are going on right now in the Biden White House with the Biden executive orders and what the Treasury and the Federal Reserve has been tasked to do within a very short period of time, I'll tell you. Very short period of time. This is to be opposed with your dying breath. I'm right there with you on gun rights, on pro-life issues, on CRT, on forced vaccinations. I am with you there on everything. But this seems to be one of these things where if we don't beat this, none of those other things, there's not going to be debate about the other things. There will be no ability to resist any of the other things. If they roll this thing out, it is total control. We'll talk about it in just a second. Stick with me. I'm sure everybody is aware of the fact that we just had the World Government Summit, right, last week. I don't watch mainstream news. I can't stomach it. Maybe a dereliction of duty as a talk show host, but I just can't do it. But I'm sure our mainstream media covered this confab of the powers that be at the World Government Summit. No? Really? You didn't know about that? Well, this is one of these globalist things, and it's actually called the World Government Summit. And I don't think it's called World Governments Summit. It's called the World Government Summit. 140 nations participate. They have a website. You can go to worldgovernmentsummit.com, I believe. It's a funny thing. This stuff is right. It's all right out there for you. But there was a speech given, a presentation given by Pippa Malmgren. Her name is Philippa. She goes by Pippa Malmgren. Who is she? I'm not really familiar with this woman. She's an American technology entrepreneur and economist. Now, I'm going to stop real quick before I read the rest of this. For all of you out there who are still trapped in the whole, yeah, Joe Biden's wrecking everything. These demon rats, or whatever funny little name you've got for the Democrats because you played the two-party game and you think that that's a real, you know, you're going to make a big difference if you just vote really, 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 you press that button real hard for a Republican, you think you're going to change things. Pippa Malmgren is an American technology entrepreneur and economist. She served as special assistant to the President of the United States, George W. Bush, for economic policy on the National Economic Council and is a former member of the U.S. President's Working Group on Financial Markets. We know that as the Plunge Protection Team. This is this group of shadowy figures who, when the stock market starts to go down and maybe the elites aren't ready to lose any money in the market, they go in and pump it back up using taxpayer dollars. And she was also the president's working group on corporate governance. So this is one of these globalists that served in the Bush administration. There were some of them in the Trump administration as well. But she did a presentation, and I just want to play this little clip of it. This is what kicked off this whole thing. So blame her if this is not the topic you want me to get into. There's other sexier topics, I know, but I don't think there's any more important than this.
I remember talking to an Australian diplomat at one point about this break between the U.S. and China and said, you know, both sides are going to say, whose team are you on? Mm-hmm. And he said, our job is to make sure the question never arises. But the question has arisen. And so I think we have to go deeper. And it's not about the U.S. versus China. It's about what underpins a world order is always the financial system.
Ding, ding.
I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71.
And there's your other just horrific culprit of what we're going through right now in our debt-based economy. Richard Nixon. Republican, strangely enough. Hero to many. Richard Nixon, who took us off the gold standard in 1971. Now, part of that was in response to the overspending by LBJ and his great society. The blame just goes all over the place. But I just want to point this out because there's still so many people out there plastering these little pictures of Joe Biden. I did that next to the gas prices. You know, Donald Trump, luckiest man that ever lived. The election was stolen. I don't know if he was in on it. He certainly didn't put much effort into overturning them. I mean, he took $8,000 of everybody's contributions. First $8,000 went to the RNC and to his own PAC before any money went to actually challenging the elections. But the bottom line is that this inflation would have raged under a second term of Donald Trump. He escaped that fate, and now he gets to sit on the sidelines, and Trump supporters blame Biden because they don't understand economics at all. So it's Nixon. It's all of them. It's all of these people.
So I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world...
She's absolutely right. It's to everything else. I've made this point repeatedly on this show. Black Lives Matter, and that's because of the financial system. The reason we have so much agitation in this society, well, the reason you've got black communities up in arms, they're angry. Now, the misplaced anger, certainly. Led by the wrong people, absolutely. All of these movements, these things, the political infighting, it is... I believe that there is a financial root to all of it.
Well, today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights.
Yeah, I bet they'll get right on that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Look, we're going to usher in this centralized digital currency where we have the ability to, at the flick of a switch or a keystroke entry, cut you off from life as you know it. But we promise we wouldn't do that. We're going to put, you know, I mean, they obey the Constitution right now, right? They always obey the Bill of Rights right now, right? They always respect our civil liberties, right? So they'll promise you, oh, we understand this is a tremendous amount of power that we're going to have here, but we promise, pinky swear, we'll never abuse it.
If we're going to have digital money, but also this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this next hour, the timing of this. It looks, they're preparing for it to be soon. Let me put it that way. And this is not Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin may have kind of greased the skids, knowingly or unknowingly, to start getting people to start embracing a digital currency. And I totally support Bitcoin and any decentralized currencies. That's great. But it has kind of beta tested everybody to see if they would adopt a digital currency. And I believe and have said for some period of time, my only suspicion around Bitcoin and these kinds of things is that the government's not going to allow competition. They're going to come in and crush that and replace it with their own. And that's what she's saying right here.
Europeans have committed to that as well.
Yeah. So the Europeans, Americans, all of the G20 countries. And when I come back, we're going to take a look. Biden signed an executive order But I just am not going to allow this retreat to lay this at the feet of this one mental patient, this monkey with a gun, Joe Biden, that's sleeping his way, stumbling his way, mumbling his way through the presidency. He's just a symptom. He's a symptom of this corruption that we see. This is to be opposed in the most stringent way. I can't say this enough. CRT is important. People should get to the school board meeting tonight at 5 o'clock and every single school board meeting until the books of perversion and these kinds of things are taken out of the school library and that the indoctrination of our kids stops. Just teach our kids how to read, how to write, and how to do math. It's not hard. You used to do it back in the 50s and the 60s and even some of the 70s. You did it. So go in there and take control of your school boards or get your kids the hell out of these schools if they're going to go down this path. This thing, though, this makes resistance to all the other things null and void. If we are at the mercy of our entire way of life to buy, to sell, to live, to provide for our families is contingent upon going along with all of their plans. And I'll tell you the timing of it next hour. Stay with me.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm doing a long-form show today. Central bank digital currencies. I believe this is what's the biggest alarm? 4 alarm? 5 alarm? This is maybe the biggie. I thought vaccinations were bad. I thought lockdowns were bad. Stimmy checks, all this other stuff. The Ukraine conflict. All of these things, that they all kind of play in together. It's all setting us up for this huge crisis. And as I say, one of the reasons that I'm nervous about this right now, and I could be early. I could be way early on this. It really doesn't matter. You should oppose this. Get your mind right about opposing this to your dying breath. And then if it doesn't come for 5 or 10 years, then we don't have to exercise that muscle. But it's probably good to put out a few probes, make sure that your senator and your congress critters, your state legislators know that this is not an acceptable financial system for a free people. And that is using central bank digital currencies. And the reason that I believe we're vulnerable to a problem. I just played you a clip. The yield curve is inverted. It's signaling recession ahead. We got a central bank that says it's going to start raising rates. I believe that they will retreat. Inflation's going to keep running. It's going to hurt. I mean, what we deserve the pain. All of us adults out here, you greatest generation people, you baby boomers, us Generation Xers, we deserve every bit of pain we get. We sat back and allowed this because we had Netflix and sports ball and new phones. You know, it's guarding your freedom is... What's the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We have been not at all vigilant, not at all vigilant, just not at all. And I implicate the greatest generation, the baby boomers, and my generation. We've all dropped the ball. You want to blame the kids? Oh, this millennial group, they're just worthless. And look at these Gen Zers, and they want all this stuff. And look, I know they're annoying. Number one, we raised them. Number two, we're handing over a turd sandwich for these people because we have just allowed our system to be hollowed out from the inside. The Federal Reserve could come out tomorrow, today, while I'm talking right now, with a sentence or two that could crash the U.S. economy and take a chunk out of your 401k. Today, they just release a statement. You want to see home building stop? Probably construction sites abandoned. Let the Federal Reserve come out and say, our goal is to raise interest rates to 7% this year to tame inflation. You think home builders are going to keep building homes if they know that mortgage rates are going to be 8 or 9%? No, they're not. Immediate job losses plunge us into a recession overnight. They have that much power because nobody's paid attention to them because it's boring and it's not sexy. It doesn't involve the words Trump or Biden or AOC. It's not about a celebrity. And so nobody talks about it. They have that kind of power. I talked to a listener this weekend about this very topic. And I'll tell you, I mean, like as I say, I could be way early on this idea, but when I play this clip from Pippa Malmgren at the World Government Summit this past week, and then I get into reading a little bit more about this, when would this central bank digital currency come? Look, this is about crisis and what people will do just to make this the hurting stop. A deep, dark recession slash depression, which is imminently possible, will cause so much pain for the vast majority of Americans will go along with anything that eases that pain at that moment, not realizing the long-term consequences of it. You don't believe me? How many of you conservatives cheered on George W. Bush, his war on terror, and the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and the creation of the Department of Homeland Security that is now being used to target conservatives? Libertarians were on the sidelines screaming, don't do that. Don't do that. That's too much power for the government. Conservatives were waving their flags. It's the Patriot Act. We've got to support it. It says Patriot right there in the title. How many of Americans do you think would fall for this if they said, look, things are tough. Times are bad. Recession, depression. But we've got a way out for you. Go to your phone, open up your Fed wallet, and we're going to start putting money in there for you. Now, here's the trade-off. We're going to give you a bunch of money so you can buy gas and you can buy some groceries, but you're going to have to turn in that stinking cash. Most people won't have any cash anyway. What are they going to care? You know, majority of people are going to go along with whatever makes the hurting stop at that moment with no thought long-term. That's what Americans do. It's really probably what people throughout history have done. If we thought long-term, we wouldn't vote for any of these people that are appointing the bureaucrats who are doing these things to us. This is a piece by M.N. Gordon. I read a quote from it earlier. And this is what he says. And I think this backs it up. You know, I'm somebody who's very conscious of Chicken Little. I've been one. I mean, I've seen what's going on with our financial system when I really kind of started to understand it right around the year 2000. And then I saw what went on with the housing boom, and I knew there was going to be a housing collapse. I sold a house in 2004, I think it was, thinking I was getting out just in the nick of time. I probably left $50,000, so my timing's not good. I will say that. My timing's not good, but I saw it coming from a mile away. When I saw McDonald's cashiers on some of the home flipping shows buying homes in Central California or Southern California for $625,000, I said, uh-oh, something's going on here. So I may be wildly early on this stuff, but maybe not. This is from this piece by M.N. Gordon. Central bank digital currencies are coming, and they're coming much faster than most people care to think about. Are you ready? At the moment, roughly 90 central banks, including the European central banks and the Federal Reserve, the Death Star, are either experimenting with or are in varying stages of central bank digital currency implementation. Moreover, these CBDCs, friendly central banks, include all G20 economies and together represent more than 90% of global GDP. He goes on to say, what's important to understand is the adoption of a CBDC in your country of residence would accompany the abolition of cash. This would be for your own good, of course, to eliminate the nefarious transactions in black markets. If you value your financial privacy and the liberty to spend your money as you please, then the rapidly approaching rollout of CBDCs is a major red flag. Compulsory use of a CBDC, like a digital dollar, for example, would give central planners complete oversight and control over your finances. You know, telling everybody, hey, you need to get out to the school board meeting tonight. What if you can't buy gas to get to the school board meeting? You understand what I'm saying? All of these other things, all these other disagreements, I'm totally on board with opposing all of them, the critical race theory, any of these other things. But if this rolls out, resistance is futile. MN goes on to say, you see, under a central bank digital currency regime free of cash, all of your transactions would be subject to government surveillance. All remnants of financial freedom, privacy, and anonymity would be destroyed. But that's not all. And I gave this quote from him earlier. CBDCs would allow control freak, power mad central bankers to do much more than spy and surveil your financial transactions. CBDCs would allow them to control how and when you spend your money. Now, a few years ago, there was a guy with the Bank for International Settlements, General Manager Augustin Karstens. Here's what he had to say about central bank digital currencies. Quote, there is a huge difference between CBDCs and cash. For example, with cash, we don't know who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who's using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that the central bank will have absolute control under rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability, and we will have the technology to enforce it. This is also the beginning of the social credit score. And that's why I tell you, we yield to this. We already saw assets confiscated for contributing $50 to the trucker convoy up in Canada. $50 donation to a bunch of truckers to feed them so that they could go protest, and people had their bank accounts frozen. Now, this was just Canada, right? Never happened here, Mike. On March 9th, the Biden administration released an executive order requiring several federal agencies to study digital currencies and to identify ways to regulate them. A big part of the executive order is focused on blockchain-based cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum. However, within the executive order, Biden also directs the federal government and Federal Reserve, I call it the Death Star, to lay the foundation for a potential new U.S. currency, a CBDC, perhaps a digital dollar. Now, I want you to listen to these timings here. And this is what's got me, I'll say, a tad freaked out. I've got plans for my life. I'm not going to abandon. I'm not going to change the things, the plans that I have going forward, because I've done that before, and it's a fool's errand. You think something's about to happen, so you batten down the hatches, you retreat from any growth plans you have with your business or anything, and then it doesn't happen, and you've just left a couple of years laying on the table without doing things. But I will certainly make sure that anybody who represents me in any way, as illegitimate as I believe it is, understands that this cannot be allowed to happen. This is an issue the Mississippi State Legislature should be taking up. Some states already have. They're announcing Bitcoin as legal tender. Bitcoin is decentralized right now. I just have my suspicions that it is just going to be used as a way to say, look, my people are using Bitcoin. Now we're just going to give you the Mac Daddy coin, the Fed coin. Specifically, and this is when I talk about timing here, this got me a little freaked out. Specifically, the executive order directs the U.S. Treasury and other federal agencies to study the development of the new CBDC and report back within 180 days of the potential risks and benefits of a digital dollar. Let me give you a little spoiler alert. All of the risks are ours. All of the benefits are theirs. Executive order also directs the Treasury Department, Office of the Attorney General, and Federal Reserve to produce a, quote, legislative proposal, unquote, to create a digital currency within 210 days, about 7 months. And you see, the Patriot Act in all its specificity, all the intricate parts of the Patriot Act, boy, wasn't that churned out really quickly after 9/11? Isn't that interesting how they were able to put together that piece of legislation that sailed through in a bipartisan manner? It's almost like they had it written before 9/11 happened. And so we have this now that nobody will talk about. And this is the Biden administration. Look, I am as disgusted by the people running this country as anybody out there, but these kinds of things are going on during the Trump administration. He had a Goldman Sachs banker running the Treasury Department. I'm supposed to believe that Donald Trump was really, I don't know how many people told me Donald Trump's taken down the Federal Reserve. For 3 years, I had to combat these people who were telling me, oh, he's setting them up for the fall. He did this brilliant maneuver. It's taking the Federal Reserve down. When Donald Trump left office, the Federal Reserve was more powerful than it had ever been in its history. Now, it was also more powerful than it had been in its history when he took office. It's just that it got bigger and more powerful during the Trump years. He did nothing to curtail the power of the Federal Reserve. He emboldened it. He cheered for it. But see, this is telling us right here, this executive order means that right now they're creating these plans so that if in 6 months we have a financial crisis, they'll be ready to give us the solution to it. And this same Federal Reserve that's coming up with this plan to implement a central bank digital currency within 210 days is the same organization that could tip us into the financial crisis with one sentence released out into CNBC and Wall Street Journal world, and they could collapse the economy in a day. Because we are so vulnerable and so addicted to debt. What do you think happens to the U.S. federal government if the Federal Reserve says we're raising interest rates to 8-10%, just like they did, you know, back in the 1970s or early 80s, they raised it to 20% to tame inflation. If they came in and said that today, the federal government right now has to borrow money to function, right? Because we've never reined in any of these politicians. We just keep sending them back, the Roger Wickers, the Thad Cochrans. They go up there, oh, well, Thad Cochran's on the Appropriations Committee. We need his power up in Washington, D.C. Keep sending him back. Keep sending him back. He's bringing home some money for us. He's on the Appropriations Committee, meaning he was partially responsible for all of the spending during his time in that post. And people took selfies with him while he destroyed the country. So what happens to the federal government that needs to borrow money to finance its operations when interest rates, right now I think we spend somewhere around $400 billion just in interest on the debt. And that's at debt at microscopic interest rates. What happens if the federal government has to start borrowing money at 5%, 10%, 12%, 15%? That $400 billion a year we spend on interest expense, that balloons up to $2 trillion a year just in interest on our debt. You think our government can function that way? You think we won't just completely implode? You think tax rates are going to stay where they are right now? So the Federal Reserve has got us, I don't know if it's right where they want us. I mean, I don't know. But they are going to have the back door. They're going to be able to just say to themselves, well, I guess we've got this plan. We're ready to roll out the central bank digital currencies. I guess we can go ahead and pull the plug on the economy now. People will be begging us for this central bank digital currency. I mean, we've already got a society that rarely ever uses cash. They've gotten us through debit cards and credit cards into just electronic transactions. Now people are just using their phone. They want to use Apple Pay or any of these other things. Cash is just a dirty relic to a lot of people, a whole lot of people. They'll see this as a benefit. We know how many people are asleep out there and who will not think of the long-term consequences. But I got to take a commercial break, but think for just a second. What are all the things that could happen if you have only accounts that are controlled, monitored, surveilled by a government? Just imagine trying to oppose that government in any way. They just turn it off. Well, my wife still has her account, does she? Think they won't see some suspicious activity of paying your golf club dues? They'll turn her off too. Anybody else want to help this guy? This is the social credit score. This is everything here. I don't know if this comes across as alarmist. I mean, I'm sure it probably does. I'm alarmed by it. But the just like the Patriot Act, as libertarians stood on the sidelines warning everybody, don't do this. I don't care what happened on September 11th. It doesn't justify growing this government into a complete surveillance state of its own citizens. Conservatives said, no, we think it's a good idea. It'll protect us. There's a terrorist behind every bush, Mike. You don't understand. So it was short-sighted to not see the danger of the Patriot Act, to not see the danger of taking us off the gold standard, to not see the danger of the Federal Reserve in the first place, all of these things. It was always short-sighted. So maybe this is alarmist, but I'll tell you what, just the idea that they could possibly control, you understand, not a nickel that you get could come from anything but basically a government-approved source. What do you think tax rates would be? You know, right now, people probably, if you had tax rates as high as 50, 60% for people, you know what they would do? They'd do a lot of work for cash, right? They'd go out and do some side hustles. They might sell some stuff. I'm going to have a garage sale. Maybe the government will leave me alone from the $600 that I earn from a garage sale. I'll have that little bit of cash that I can fall back on because they're taking so much money from us in taxes right now. Can you imagine if every nickel that you had to go into the centralized account? They knew right where every penny you had was, because they control that money and they can make it appear and disappear at a whim. I mean, just play with that for a second inside your mind to see the absolute total control. I don't think money life should be completely about money, but existence largely is. You want to send your kids to college? You want to clothe your kids? You want to send them to a private school? I mean, just think about all of the things that you do that are expressions of freedom that you have to have money to do them. You can still love somebody without money. Might be difficult to attract a new mate without some level of cash, but you know what I'm saying. The best things in life are free. I mean, some of the most rewarding things are possibly free, but good luck getting to them if you're not able to have some money. 180 days to put together this proposal, 210 days to create a legislative proposal that in times of a financial crisis, our Congress, full of the corrupt creatures that it is, this would pass with flying colors bipartisanly, save the Rand Pauls and the Thomas Masseys, the libertarian-minded ones out there. Marco Rubio would sign on to it. Roger Wicker would sign on to it. All of these people would sign on to this thing because they would be told, this is the way. We've got a big mess here. We've got a recession, a depression, bad problems here, but we can deliver us all. And these politicians, what do you think they're going to get? They're not going to go along with it. And God knows the Democrats love the government and think that it loves them. They're stupid enough to let this happen too. Just think about the ways they would control your life if they knew where every nickel you had was, and there was no escape, no pulling money out for a rainy day, no putting anything in the mattress cushions, carry around all your wealth in a phone. God knows what the hackers will do with this in the first place. This is terrifying stuff. I'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
You know, I can talk about this stuff for hours and hours. The Federal Reserve and this overarching, it's the financial system. It's the whole system has been corrupted. People want to understand wealth inequality, and I wish I had pulled these clips. You know, one of the guys, I was watching this documentary on Inside Lehman Brothers. It's talking about the collapse of Lehman Brothers, all the crimes committed by Wall Street. And there were some, you know, former bankers in there that had turned whistleblower on Lehman Brothers and some of the other big banks. And, you know, one of them outlines that Barack Obama came into office during this financial crisis, right, where Barack Obama goes out and he campaigns against the Wall Street and all that. He doesn't mention the fact that Barack Obama in both of his election cycles took in more Wall Street money than John McCain or Mitt Romney. And that's Mitt Romney. He's a Wall Street guy. Barack Obama comes in office talking about, you know, how he's going to serve the little people and he's going to take on Wall Street and let these criminals go to jail, all the pandering stuff that he was doing. He appointed as the head of enforcement at the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, that should have been investigating things long before 2008, but they should have investigated and prosecuted the criminals on Wall Street for what created the financial crisis. Barack Obama put in an attorney, one of the top attorneys for Deutsche Bank. That's who we put in charge of enforcement at the SEC. Because Barack Obama was a Wall Street puppet too. And boy, this won't make me popular, but boy, did Donald Trump do the bidding of Wall Street. Now, he couched it in, he's going to make everybody prosperous, and he talked to the middle class and everything, but boy, didn't Wall Street do well. And we sure as hell didn't see any prosecutions or perp walks of any financial crimes during the Trump administration, did we? And that is the great game. So the system is so big, it's so entrenched. And a caller during the break say, you know, how do you pose them? I mean, well, what happens if we just ditch? The Federal Reserve was created with the stroke of a pen. It could be disbanded with the stroke of a pen. And there's some people calling for it. People like Ron Paul, the great Ron Paul, who took on the Fed constantly and tried to pass audit the Fed bills. Do you understand that the financial institution that is most important in your life, it's not your local bank. It's not your credit union. It's not your credit card company. The most important thing to your financial life is this Federal Reserve that nobody knows, nobody understands. Go down the street and ask them, what do you think about Jerome Powell? They'll ask you if that's the starting guard for the Grizzlies. They won't have any idea who this guy is. even though he is the one. They'll talk to you about wealth inequality. They'll talk to you about the oligarchs in America and how some people are scamming the system. These rich people just keep getting richer, and it gets harder and harder on us. But they don't understand the guy that's at the levers of control of that, which is Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve. Ron Paul tried to audit them. The Federal Reserve resisted, and Congress would not sign on. Over the years, Ron Paul did this over and over and over again. I got to admit, I did not have the patience for the political process. I've talked about this with Americans for Prosperity when they come in and talk about the legislative efforts they have year after year after year. They get a little bit closer to getting something done, a little bit closer to getting the income tax, but it takes years and years. Now we've got, I don't know how our income tax stuff ended up, but at one point they were saying they're going to phase out the Mississippi income tax over 18 years. Are you kidding me? But Ron Paul, year after year after year, introduced audit the Fed bill. We have not audited the largest financial institution on planet Earth. They refuse an audit. They just say no. They put American taxpayers on the hook for trillions and trillions of dollars given to foreign governments and foreign banks. Do they answer for it? Nope. Does Roger Wicker ask them to answer? Did Thad Cochran hold their feet to the fire with all of his power in Washington, D.C.? Of course not. Because the Federal Reserve printed up the money that Thad Cochran used to buy his political favors and Roger Wicker uses to buy his political favors. They love the Fed. They love all this money printing. And they know they've gotten to that level. Well, they will never feel the consequences like you and I will. They're above that now. Inflation? Oh, yeah. Somebody who's got $10, $20 million in the bank, you think they feel an extra dollar a gallon? They don't care. They don't walk in our shoes anymore. They're not of us. And so the Federal Reserve could be undone. And this is one of the things that, I mean, I guess I've in vain attempted to do over the last 5 years is bring up this institution, educate you so that maybe in the hopes someday in 20, 30, 50 years, it trickles down from generation to generation to where finally at some Republican stump speech, someone says, when are you going to get this central planning communist Federal Reserve bunch of globalists out of our lives? Maybe in 50 years it becomes popular. I've said, you know, Tucker Carlson started to talk about the Federal Reserve a little bit. It may be getting sexy. But we could do away with this organization. We got rid of a central bank before. Came right back with a charge, boy, didn't it? You didn't have any income taxes till you had this Federal Reserve, and now people are just used to them. If they get this central bank digital currency, there's more in this story, but I also wanted to talk about what Russia is doing right now. And I'll tell you, I'm very conflicted about Vladimir Putin right now. I don't know whose side he's on. I'm suspicious of this guy. At the same time, I seem like I admire some of the things he's doing for his country. I'm not talking about the invasion of Ukraine. I wish he hadn't done that. I get it. I don't think it was a good move. We're all paying the price for it. Innocent people are being killed. Of course, that's largely at the feet of Zelensky. Did I hear he made an appearance last night at the Grammys? They are really packaging this guy. You know, it was interesting. I was off last week, but I did listen to the Dana Lash show. And I think it was last Thursday. This Zelensky character from Ukraine had made some statements about, I don't know, sustainability or, you know, some kind of social justice warrior statement. And Dana Lash was saying, oh, he doesn't need to do that. I know you're trying to please the crowd, but that's not going to win you any new friends because she is very anti-Russia. And I thought it was kind of cute. It was like, oh, Dana Lash is finally understanding. And a lot of Republicans are this way. They've been supporting Zelensky because they've got this Russia phobia. Sean Hannity would be one of these people. They've got this Russia phobia. It was interesting to hear Dana Lash go, oh, now you're getting a glimpse at who you're supporting, the globalist Zelensky. So we'll talk a little bit. I think I've got time today to get into look at what Russia is doing right now for its own financial system. You know, I may live to see a time where we had old communists from the Soviet Union escape the Soviet Union at the risk of their own life to make it to the shores of America to find the freedom that was denied them in communist Russia, in the Soviet Union. I may live to see that totally reverse itself, where Americans are fleeing to Russia for some level of freedom to get out from underneath the totalitarian control of the United States. We'll talk about what Russia's doing when we come back. Stay with me.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You can always reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com. If you have something to share on any of these topics or something you'd like to hear discussed, I tend to kind of go in a different path than most places. Talking today about this central bank digital currency that has got some 6 to 7 month timelines on it as of a couple of months ago. The clock is ticking. This is, I don't know how many times we've said over the last 2 years, and it seems true every time, this is the hill to die on. And I believe this is the hill to die on. Dissent will be completely, you'll be incapable of dissent should we have this centralized currency and no cash. I can't express that enough. I haven't done a stack of headlines in a while. Here's just kind of show you where we are. I take two stacks and put them together oftentimes to kind of show the dichotomy between the us and them. And I'm not talking about the Republicans versus Democrats for all you two-partiers out there who keep fighting those battles. I'm talking about the us versus the 0.01%. Here's the stack of headlines. With inflation not letting up, shoppers cut back on staples. That's right. Do with less. Survey, 3 in 5 wake up thinking about finances. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon says big risk loom for the economy. And then there was this other couple of headlines that were in a different part of Drudge Report this morning. Inside lavish top secret world of private concerts. J-Lo's $1.75 million show for just 20 people. That's them. I'm talking to us. And by the us, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're young or old, big or small, black or white, we're all in this boat. Now, if you were one of the 20 people who saw the $1.75 million J-Lo show, I'm not talking to you. You're with them. But for the rest of us, the other 330 million of us out here who are in the same boat, maybe it's time we stop screaming at each other on Twitter and pay attention to what's going on at the top. This was a very interesting headline, and I'll be honest with you. I haven't done enough research on this to understand the implications of this. Vladimir Putin, I'm suspicious of the guy. He's got some globalist tendencies. He was big on the vaccines. He was big on COVID policy. Russia's not a real free place. I understand that they have been vilified by the international community and attacked relentlessly during the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and the Biden administration. So I understand what their grievances are, but I'm suspicious of Vladimir Putin. At the same time, I find myself kind of admiring some of the things he's doing. So here in the United States, I believe we're setting up for a financial crisis they may try to solve with the central bank digital currency, which will be game over. This is a piece written by Ronan Manley. It says, Russia's central bank has just profoundly altered the international trade and monetary system by linking the Russian ruble to both gold and commodities. By offering to buy gold from Russian banks at a fixed price of 5,000 rubles per gram, the Bank of Russia has both linked the ruble to gold and, since gold trades in U.S. dollars, set a floor price for the ruble in terms of the U.S. dollar. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got to pick through this to figure out exactly what the mechanisms are. But if Vladimir Putin is maybe doing something to checkmate the United States and destroy the dollar's world reserve status. Now, people that I really respect think that this could happen within a matter of weeks, and some believe it could happen only over years and years of something to substitute the U.S. dollar. I respect all of them. I don't know who's right and who's wrong, and I'm not smart enough to tell you myself, but this is just another thing that Russia is doing because we've used the U.S. dollar as a weapon during every administration. God, I want to say it again, including the Trump administration. Because so many people say, oh, look what Biden's got us into now. Yes, Biden has got us into this. But the groundwork was laid for this for 50 years now by Republicans and Democrats. Since 1971, the global reserve status of the U.S. dollar has been underpinned by oil. in the petrodollar era has only been possible due to both the world's continued use of U.S. dollars to trade oil and the USA's ability to prevent any competitor to the U.S. dollar. But what we are seeing right now looks like the beginning of the end of that 50-year-old system and the birth of a new gold and commodity-backed multilateral monetary system. The freezing of Russia's foreign exchange reserves has been the trigger, and this is something the Biden administration has just done, but this is on the heels again of a 10 years of needless, ridiculous Russia sanctions for poisonings that are dubious at best, for election interfering that never happened. It always cracked me up. The Trump administration under Mike Pompeo, that neocon warmongering piece of filth that conservatives have grown to love, They put sanctions on Russia for meddling in our elections, while at the same time the Trump administration said it wasn't Russia that got me elected, and they were right, but they still sanctioned Russia for it anyway. It's really quite silly. The giant commodity-strong countries of the world, such as China and the oil-exporting nations, may now feel that now is the time to move to a new, more equitable monetary system. It's not a surprise. They've been discussing it for years. While it's still too early to say how the U.S. dollar will be affected, it will come out of this period weaker and less influential than before. And what that also means is you can go ahead and count on this inflation being around for a while. A while. And for those of you who think that just Biden got us here, I'm going to remind you, it's Republicans like Trump, Wicker, Graham, Cotton, Pompeo, Rubio, all of these people who have called for endless sanctions against the Russians or any other country, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, Iraq before we went in. I mean, all of these politicians over decades that have been threatening every country that didn't go along with exactly what we said by telling them we're going to freeze your assets, we're going to steal your stuff. You've been convinced that they were all threats to the United States. And so all these sanctions were just perfectly normal. Sanctions are an act of war. We have been committing acts of war against other countries for decades now, and they've had it. You've seen this in movies before, maybe witnessed it in your own life, when there's a bully out on the playground, and for a long period of time, he's taking lunch money, he's pushing kids down. Eventually, even the littlest kids just go, I'm just not going to take it anymore. I may take a beating, but I'm going up against this guy. I'm just sick of it. And some of the other littler kids say, you know what? There are 50 of us, and there's only one of him. And eventually, they all get together and they say, we're going to take this bully down. And that bully is sent running. The United States foreign policy team of the last 50 to 75 years has been that school ground bully. And other countries have decided in their heads for a long time, I think it's been difficult to work out exactly how they do it without taking on a drone attacks from the U.S. military, which is just an arm of the Federal Reserve, trying to make sure that the elites stay awash in cash and privilege. They've tried to figure out, how do we not get bombed into oblivion? You know, Saddam Hussein, strangely enough, had said he was going to start trading his oil in euros. Guess what happened to him? Muammar Gaddafi had said that he was going to start trading oil in gold. He wanted a gold-backed currency for the African continent. Look what happened to him. Bashar al-Assad in Syria said he was considering taking other currencies for his gas as well. We see what happened to his country. Isn't that strange? Iran has said that they will trade their oil for euros, and look what we've done to Iran. Now it's Russia, though. Now it's Russia. Not so easy. Not as easy as a Syria or a Libya or an Iraq. This is Russia partnering up with China. And so if they decide they want to upset the apple cart, and again, this is because our foreign policy establishment, both Republicans and Democrats, and to be honest with you, Republicans are just as aggressive on this issue as the Democrats are. With all of their Russia hysteria, the Republicans don't talk about it as much and didn't scream about election interference because their guy got elected, but they have just been just vicious with sanctions and wanting to paint Vladimir Putin as Hitler. Well, Putin's got a lot more power than Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi did. And it looks like he's starting to exercise it. We'll see how this turns out. One more segment. I'll be right back. sincere apologies if I'm being hysterical about this. I think this is incredibly dangerous, and I'm kind of shocked to see maybe how far along the path we are to the central bank digital currency. To some people, this will sound like conspiracy theories. It'll never happen. But if we have a financial crisis, you need to start getting the people around you ready for the fact that no matter how bad it gets, you do not allow this to happen. Just imagine losing your job. You know, people have lost jobs before. Parents have to send adult kids money. Some kids have to send adult parents money. What if you can't do that anymore? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if they have a stranglehold on your accounts and the flow of every dollar that moves around, you can just let your mind run wild with problems with this. It took conservatives about 15 years to figure out the Patriot Act was a disaster. 15 years. They roll out this digital currency. It'll take you about 2 weeks to understand the power that you've given up. And there will be no getting it back. I don't know how you get it back from there. You can't organize. You can't protest. Who's going to show up for a protest if they can just cut you off? Can't pay your utilities? Can't pay your mortgage? I mean, the power of controlling every nickel that you take in and you put out that's the checkmate power right there. Again, hopefully I'm being hysterical about it. Let's all sit back in 2 or 3 or 5 or 20 years and just laugh at how ridiculous I was thinking this was going to come take place. There's a lot of times I cover stuff on this show where I say, I hope I'm wrong. I said it about Trump when I was criticizing him and very suspicious of the trends his administration was taking. I kept saying, I don't see all this that everybody else is seeing, but I hope I'm wrong. Let's laugh at me when he busted open. He never did. Time will tell. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.